Hello and welcome to Blogosphere Serious Influence, the podcast all about the business side of the influencer industry. I'm Alice Audley and I'm the founder of Blogosphere, which hopefully you've heard of. But if not, Blogosphere is a media company rooted in the world of influencers. We run events, an influencer network, and publish a nationally distributed print magazine, and now a podcast too, which I'll be presenting. If there are any questions about the influencer industry that you want answered, be sure to tweet us your suggestions. Our Twitter handle is @BlogosphereM. And if you want to learn more about influencers and the influencer industry, be sure to visit blogosphere magazine.com and invest in a subscription to our essential magazine. We're excited to announce that Series 1 of Serious Influence has an exclusive sponsor, the smart thinking money app, Yolt. Yolt is an app that I personally use, so I'm delighted to partner with them. You can sync your accounts, credit cards, and pensions in one view and track your spending habits, how much you're spending and what you're spending it on. I buy a lot of coffee. Yolt takes the stress out of budgeting and gives you the tools to achieve your financial life goals. For me, that's a trip to French Polynesia. Download Yolt for free from the App Store or Google Play Store today. Today on Blogosphere Serious Influence, I'm joined by fashion photographer Kyle Galvin. Kyle has a rare insight into the influencer industry and has worked with creators such as Victoria McGrath, Lydia Millen, and Jim Chapman. And he's shot campaigns for brands such as Ted Baker, YSL, and Estee Lauder.
I'm Kyle and I live in Cambridge, originally from Suffolk, and then we moved to Cambridge. I moved like 5 years ago just because I loved it.
And Kyle, what do you do?
I'm a fashion photographer. So I shoot like advertising for big brands like Rimmel, just did Oasis, Estee Lauder. I shoot content for a lot of brands as well.
And when did you first get into photography? Let's go back. Have you always been interested in photography? Did you study it at school?
Well, no, actually. Karate was the career path initially. I guess a random one. I started it at 6. Growing up, I guess we loved all that sort of martial arts stuff and like Buffy and Power Rangers and, you know, all that cool stuff. At 6, my dad put me in a class and he did it with me. And the whole family did it. I competed. And, like, seriously. And the goal was, like, getting the England squad. It wasn't, like, a pipe dream. Like, in competitions, I could rank against them. I never was in the squad, but like if we were in a competition, I could maybe like rank third if there was a few like members. But yeah, did it as a 16, but alas, like you've got to travel all the country to really hit the competitions hard. And obviously like a family, so it's a bit unrealistic perhaps. Because then you're really favouring one child, you know, and then my sister was doing football and stuff and my dad helped her with that. So probably around that, I was getting a bit bored because I wanted to compete and I couldn't really. So a girl walks into class one day. She sat at my art table and she had like got a camera and been out like photographing. And I was like, ah, these are sick. These look cool. And it hadn't ever like really crossed my mind to use it as like an art form.
So she had the camera. She was going out shooting. You started.
Yeah, I said to my parents, I want a camera. And obviously you can imagine when you've said to your parents, oh, I want to be a photographer. And in my mind, I'm going to get this big old SLR. I just didn't got like a little like compact camera. But I was like, whatever, I'm going to work with it. So did it. Used to like take self-portraits and stuff and just like do a bit of research. And you found like Tim Walker and Lara J. These fashion was what I was into because fashion is the most creative, in my opinion, form of photography because you're casting, you're creating the set, you're lighting it, you've got full control, you're sort of creating the image as opposed to wildlife, sport, that sort of stuff. If you go to like see wildlife photography, it's absolutely amazing, but if you read how long it took him, some people like, it took me 3 years to get this one shot, and I mean that I'm just not about that life.
So you left school and then did you study?
So I did an art foundation in Colchester. And then I went to LCF. So then I get off the tube one day and there is a picture of Zoella and it was the Google Made For You campaign. So it was her, it was Sorted Food and Slow-Mo Guys. And she had like 6 million subscribers at that point. And I was like, who is that? So I went on Google to have a look and I read a lot of business advice. I read a lot of branding books and I read an article about how ASOS gets their celebrity talent. And they say they just look for people, scout them before. Because they're Jennifer Lawrence, like on the cover. And they're like, how'd you get an Oscar winner on the cover of ASOS magazine? They're like, we just before she got nominated, they like sort of got her on the cover. And then she went huge. And I sort of remembered that. And I remember when Anna Wintour like put celebrities on the cover of like American Vogue. And I was like, you know what? I need to find the next thing. And I need to come up with a wave. So I go on YouTube and I look and I find like this whole, obviously like thing. And 2015 was still, I would say, I think it's quite peak for like that group.
YouTube like, specifically in 2015.
Yeah, but I don't think it definitely wasn't as mainstream as now.
Blogosphere started in 2013.
Oh, wow. That you are ahead of the curve. That's very ahead. Because Zoe only had like 6 million subscribers and people still didn't know who she was. She wasn't like a household name, I don't think, at that point. Until the Google Made For You campaign was quite different, wasn't it? But yeah, found Gleam. And I emailed about doing a shoot with Victoria, who is in the throw. And she's obviously been on the cover of Blogosphere. Everyone obviously knows her now because she's like an absolute superstar. But I then did a shoot with her for a magazine. They like agreed to like sort of publish it. It just got a really good reception. And then in terms of getting into social, basically in a nutshell, I was working full time at Ted Baker because I wasn't earning anything from freelance. So I was like, right, I need to just go full time. And that's my first like bit of business advice is like, just get a job. It's very stressful. And I've had that stress of not having any money. And then you might need to travel to London or you might need to buy equipment and you can't do that if you don't have money. So I was like, I'm just going to work full time. Retail is quite good because you get days off in the week so you could still do stuff or you could try and fit it around. I guess with like what actors do for waitressing or whatever or waitering. So yeah, I was working retail and then I got an internship at head office and that's where it began. So the goal was just work hard and do not start like giving ideas yet. I was like, you need to first just like learn from them. So I booked what you call one-to-ones and I spoke with every single member of the marketing department and social media department, spoke to them all, learnt from them, got CV advice, tips on everything. I made sure I was the first one in that office every day. I got in at 8 o'clock. I was the last one to leave. And then during my last week, so it was only for 2 weeks. And initially I just wanted a job at head office. I was like, this would be really cool. I really like the environment. And so I'd spoke to a few people and said, look, I know a blogger called Victoria from In The Throw. I was like, we want to do a shoot. Would you lend some clothing? In the US, they had worked with bloggers, but not really in the UK scene. Definitely not sponsored because Victoria was their first sponsored blogger. So then I had a one-to-one with the brand director. And first I had to like, he was like, I want you to come with questions. He was like, make sure they're interesting. And I was like, I can definitely do that. So I did. I asked him like some questions. I think he enjoyed it. And then at the end, I put together.
So you asked him questions about?
Him.
Right.
Yeah, just like...
Did he want you to do that?
Well, I had asked if I could have a one-to-one with him. And he was like, you can, as long as the questions are sort of interesting. They've got to be good questions. And I was like, sure, like, I can rise to that challenge. I'm quite inquisitive. So I had really took time to ask different questions. I wanted to know like what time he got in the office and what time he left. Because I thought if I was ever to work in that head office environment, if I knew what time he got in and what time he left, I'd get a good gauge on the workload. How stressed is his workload, how, you know.
And did you, during this interview, then mention Victoria?
Yeah, so after the questions, then he was like, okay, what's your idea? And I was like, look, I know a blogger. She's got like 600,000 followers at this point. Can we do a shoot with her? He was like, is she on brand? And I was like, I think so. And he was like, okay, well, let's give it a go. Got nothing to lose. So the PR team organised the clothes and we got them sent to Vic and I had text her. And I was like, do you want to do this shoot?
So this wasn't sponsored?
No, this wasn't sponsored. She was relaunching her blog at this point. And this was like one of the first big relaunches that she did, which really like, I think, and she was moving into luxury. She had just started moving into premium luxury. And then we did the shoot and within a week of the shoot going live, there was a sales lift at Ted and the merchandisers were like, where has this come from? And the PR team had a look and they were like, oh, it's come from this blog. I mean, it got so many hits. Those three blog posts got nearly like 60,000 unique hits or something, which is a lot of, imagine 60,000 people in a store, even if like 10 people buy something, you've made a, you know, so they had a sales lift, which was amazing. And she's got like such a great following and people really, you know, like are invested.
So what did they say to you then?
In terms of internally.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
well done.
It went down really well. Like we did a report and everything. My manager at the store had like sent it to the CEO and sent it to the heads of retail. And they were like, wow, we've never really had like a sales advisor just do this off his own back. They're such a lovely brand. And so they were so like, wow, like really like thought it was cool and innovative. And so they asked Vic to do some more. And we said not without sponsorship. And so then they agreed to sponsor. And that's when they did the first contract where she did like several blog posts a season for them. And it started her relationship to eventually, obviously, last year she was the face of Ted Baker. And that was really cool. Then to see her in a campaign as the face of Ted Baker. And also really interesting to see like all the comments were just so positive. You know, when some people do sponsor content, some people can be really funny with it. But no one was, like, there was no negative. Everyone was just like, we've waited for this. We thought this would happen one day. Like, because they've seen her, like, where it's sponsored, where it's unsponsored. They've seen a very organic relationship. It really works when you see that. And people are like, you know what? Like, we know you, we've seen you wear it to a wedding. We've seen you wear it to XYZ. And, like, we know this is genuine.
So you've been working with Victoria at this time. Does that lead into working with other bloggers and other influencers? What's that process like for you? And in what capacity are you shooting at the beginning? Is it first and foremost just shooting content to show your style and then that leads on to commercial stuff? What's the journey
okay,
there?
So there was always a brand plan and there was actually like a marketing strategy.
That you made for...
Yes, so it was like, okay, right, these are the brands I want to work with. And then I had a look at sort of people I wanted to work with in the industry and I made a list of like certain people. And Victoria had always said to me like, be selective with who you work with. Don't work with everyone because who you work with in terms of brands and like bloggers obviously will have an impact in terms of like the way that your brand is seen and what people think of you when they think of like Kyle Galvin and photography. There's people that I love on Instagram who I might not necessarily work with because they've got a very different style or the brands they work with.
How would you define Kyle Galvin? From my perspective, it would be luxury brand.
Yeah, like I do more like a lot of premium and luxury beauty. Do some high street brands, depending on what they are. And again, it's just personal preference. It's not...
So who is on your list?
Oh my gosh, this is really throwing it back. So I had like Lydia Millen, Jim Chapman, Naomi Smart, who else? Oh my God. It's really hard to remember now. Like, it's been quite a long time.
Well, you've worked with all of them.
I have worked with all of them, luckily. And everyone I've worked with, I reached out to first, pretty much.
So on the list of people, it's people with sort of hundreds of thousands, millions of followers.
Yeah.
How important as a photographer working in the social media field is having your own following?
Mine probably isn't huge. My social media approach wasn't necessarily numbers. It's always been, I want the right people to follow to be customers. That's my approach rather than having a following. And my work doesn't probably really lend itself to like a mass, very Instagrammable following. The people who I think have quite large followings, it's very what you'd probably now describe as an Instagram aesthetic, and people really like love it and flock to it, and they probably work with a lot of people because of numbers, and obviously numbers breeds numbers. Mine is more like, right, this is what I want my like portfolio to be like, so let's curate it so it attracts certain brands. And it does work. And say some of you worked with and they put your tag in the caption, sometimes in the tag it gets missed, so if you put it in the caption, that really helps, because obviously sometimes a PR might see it, and it has happened to me before. Like, I worked with YSL because they saw I'd done some content for Naomi, and then he had like followed me, and for like 6 months he had like been following me, and I didn't know until like a project came up, and he was like, oh, I think you'd be really cool for this. So it does make a difference. But yeah, it wasn't about numbers, but I think I have heard of that, especially for campaigns and stuff. That'll be like, oh, they've not got enough followers, or like,
because the photographer needs to be an influencer in their own
right. Yeah, which is kind of weird, I guess, because you think it should just be about the work. But I guess it's this idea, perhaps, of like the followers mean that you're like a big deal, perhaps. Or like, oh, people are really interested, or he's interesting if he's got loads of followers. But I thought about this the other day. Followers have kind of become a bit redundant, haven't they? Because now you've got reach. And I guess the only times followers might perhaps become relevant is if you're doing like a brand deal, but it's a multi-post brand deal. So obviously if you have a reach of 200,000, you've got like 800,000 followers and you do like 5 posts or 3 posts, you could potentially obviously reach many more unique people.
Would you say that the majority of your jobs do come through Instagram? And in terms of your favourite platform, obviously Instagram is very visual, so I would think that that's probably your first, but
No, Twitter. I love Twitter. Twitter makes me feel connected to the world. I was talking about this the other day. I just log on Twitter and I feel like I'm part of the world. I love it. And you can have conversations with people and it's a much more open dialogue and they've got such good memes and it makes me laugh every day. And I love Twitter. Twitter, you can share video, you can share photos, you can share everything. Instagram, just...
The engagement on Twitter is actually really good at the moment as well.
Yeah, I love Twitter. Twitter's so much fun. I love like engaging with people and chatting and you can have like a, like this conversation.
Twitter's my favourite platform.
Yeah, whereas Instagram is a very closed dialogue because you can't have a conversation the way that you can on Twitter because it's all in someone's profile, in someone's comment section. It isn't the same.
Do you think that brands are missing a trick when it comes to Twitter? Because I suppose in the grand scheme of things, where the majority of budgets being invested is across Instagram and YouTube.
No, I think sponsored content probably works better because sponsored content isn't about conversation. It's about reaching a certain person's following. So Twitter is better for, I would say, things like political issues, things like social issues, like social conversations. So if you've got like a campaign, you think this will go viral. Yeah, Twitter's maybe a good place for that because people can retweet and they'll see it on their timelines. Whereas the Explore page, I think, is quite hard sometimes to get on.
Yeah.
And I'd never look at the Explore page. Mine always looks rubbish, so I'm never interested. Whereas Twitter, I think it's just easier to see stuff.
Greater discovery.
So yeah, if you've got something viral, Twitter's cool, but like not, no, because you're trying to reach a certain audience. I think Instagram's good.
And then back to Instagram and your YSL example of the person there following you for 6 months and then booking you in for a campaign. What does a campaign look like for you when it starts? So can you give me an example of a brand campaign? I know that you've spoken about TED, but maybe another one, maybe YSL?
Okay, so it works for different stuff. I would look at my business in different ways and I have different rates for different things. So like the way the business is broken down is it's broken down into you work with influencers, you work with brands on content, and then you work with brands on an advertising campaign level, and I do a bit of digital content for video. But video in terms of like for content as opposed to video, say like on a director level.
So this is the breakdown of your personal business.
My personal business. And then so each of those channels you always have to try and constantly like feed. They all work differently. So sometimes there's an event. Maybe Estee Lauder is a good example of they've thrown on a big PR event and we went to Venice and Athens recently and it's to launch a product and they've scheduled in content moments and they've got like a content team to help. And it might be that the girls have got like sponsored girls or guys, usually it's girls, just because I work in more women's wear and beauty related. Yeah, so they might have a designated sponsored post and we might help them capture that content. Or you're on hand, say like they're doing like a big trip and they want someone there to help the girls so they can get content. Because obviously back home, they'll have people who helps them. And usually I'm probably booked on stuff that maybe I know a few people and I probably work with them content wise anyway. So it helps that I'm there.
In your opinion, do you think that brands have always successfully selected influencers on those trips who are on brand for them?
That depends on the brand. If the brand feels they're right, they're right. I don't obviously get into the...
Do you ever recommend people to them?
If I know like a brand well, I did it with Rimmel the other day. It was like, you should follow this girl. I think she's a rising star. She's really cool. Yeah, I recommend people to brands.
So let's go back to your business model. We've talked about one revenue stream, which is the sort of trips and creating that bespoke content.
Yeah, so that works. So yeah, they approach me directly. I give them a fee. And my fees for content and my fees for advertising are different because the budgets are different. And obviously it's relative to
so
budget.
Do you work on a percentage scale?
No, rates are really difficult. I mean, you can try and do it by like times in what you think per hour you should be charging and then maybe multiply it by that and throw in a bit for pre-production and post. My rates were kind of, I just chatted to a lot of people and then I was approached by some brands and they were like, we've got this budget. And then I sort of took that rate and then I applied it to other brands and then I was getting it signed off and I was happy with that money. So it can vary so much. Same with influencer rates. It varies so much. Same with like, I've been told before that like I've done a job and they've been like, oh, like so-and-so's got paid thousands more than you. And then that's frustrating. But then at the same time, I guess that's also because maybe they have a bigger name or whatever at that time. So yeah, my rates kind of just come from really, I guess it would be, they've sent me this and been like, we got this budget. And then I've been like, that's a pretty decent figure.
So that's the brand coming to you, say we have this budget for the photography or for the kind of whole influencer campaign as a whole?
For the photography.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, we got this.
On the whole, do you see that budgets are increasing? I've spoken to a lot of people and they're saying that budgets in influencer marketing are obviously rising a lot.
So brands, I would say now, are going less celebrity route and they're going more influencer because people relate to them more. They can track who's looking at what and who grabs people's attention, can't they, or statistically. And yeah, they're finding it's performing better. So I think next year we will see the rise of influencers in more traditional celebrity spaces in terms of, I think, like ad campaigns, printed ad campaigns in the few magazines that still have those. A lot of brands aren't obviously doing much print ads really anymore. Yeah, it's 100% it's growing. And obviously celebrities and et cetera are now doing their paid partnerships, et cetera.
I mean, this is how your whole beginning of working with influence marketing started, by seeing an influencer in a traditional advertising spot, you know, Zoella on the tube in a display ad. And actually, when influencers are photographed and pictured and displayed outside of social media, I think that it can do it really incredibly well, because anybody that sees that will then put it back on social media. So there is that fluidity.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. You just can't track sometimes how print, if it's performed, or as easy as you can digital, and people obviously then really focus on like becoming obsessing over those digital figures. But yeah, I guess it does. I think it's interesting to be, I think it's good to be off platform. The goal should always be you build your platform, but you're doing as many things off of it to then secure longevity, because again, you don't know how long it's going to be around.
How long do you think that it will be around? I don't see it going anywhere anytime.
No, it won't. I saw recently Derek Blasberg, he left Vanity Fair to go to YouTube to handle beauty partnerships. So someone who's worked in fashion for absolutely years is leaving his like editor position to go work at a social media company. I think it says it all, really. There's more, I think, if you're in fashion and beauty, you probably have more longevity without reinventing yourself than perhaps if you're in entertainment, because I think entertainment content, depending on your demographic, can sometimes be, do you know how like a pop star perhaps, and like a, you get some pop stars, depending on how you reinvent yourself, but you get some pop stars who sort of, I guess, have a time period.
And sometimes audiences don't like reinvention.
Yeah, because it's obviously different, and they just grow up, and maybe like what you've then reinvented, maybe you attract a new audience. So I think there's perhaps a shorter, I wonder if there's a shorter time span for that, I guess, than there is for like fashion and beauty. Because I think fashion and beauty you can like quite naturally evolve into, and you'll grow naturally into different skincare, and people, if they're interested, will sort of naturally, as they get older, will grow up with that as well. So I think you can grow with your audience. Perhaps it's harder for entertainment.
You obviously spend a lot of time one-on-one with influencers and have got friendships. You know, it's not just someone that you're working with.
Yeah, for sure.
Cultivated friendships.
Yeah.
In the kind of conversations that you're having, is diversifying income and not relying on one platform something that you discuss? You know, what's coming up in your conversations the most in terms of challenges and trends?
Yeah, they are 100% are doing stuff off the platform, whether it's investing in companies, whether it's building brands, whether it's book deals, 100%. The interesting thing is, I think we all think everyone's 20. They're not. A lot are like 30, you know, they've been doing it for a while. So they're building their own brands and building their own stuff, and then trying to create this sort of world off of social media. And I think it's becoming like that, I would think, as well, because I think we're starting to see them. I mean, you see Joe Sugg on Strictly. That's huge. That's so cool, because that's a huge TV show, and that's way more traditional media. And I think we're going to start seeing the blend. But then I guess I watched a really interesting YouTube video last night, The Death of the YouTuber by Connie Glynn. And
Nudorella.
Yes.
Although she's not Nudorella. Yeah, she's just rebranded.
I think she's just rebranded. Again, someone rebranded, really interesting. She was like, oh, well, I guess what makes them so relatable is people thought they were just like, oh, it's just living vicariously through someone else. And then I guess now, are they moving into more celebrity status where they're unreachable? And then does that, I don't know, I guess.
Is that detrimental to the original bond?
It's so hard. I would say it's like the whole like Taylor Swift saga. You build someone up and then they try and tear them down, and then they build them up again, and people love to hate them and hate to love them. It's a really, like, I don't know, it's a human vicious cycle sometimes, isn't it?
What do you think the biggest challenges are within the influence industry at the moment?
I think I'm becoming a little bit sometimes bored of content. And I think, not through anyone's fault, I think what it is we're all referencing someone else on Instagram, if that makes sense. So you see someone on Instagram and you're really inspired by them, and then you want to do something, and then someone's inspired by you, and it has like a ripple effect. And then before you know it, everyone's feed looks the same. And I know a few months ago I was so uninspired because I was like, oh, everything just like looks the same on Instagram.
I remember Casey Neistat saying that in our interview. If all you're doing is a less good version of what someone else is doing, you're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah, so I think... Oh, that's quite a... he's quite like... That's quite harsh, isn't it? But
he doesn't pull any punches.
No, but I think it's just because of... We're so like used to scrolling, and I think we're self-referencing everything. So I think the best people sort of look maybe outside of the platform, whether they're looking at magazines, whether they're looking at movies. Someone who are like, his work is amazing, is Q Mike. And Q Mike, his stuff is so great because I know he does not reference other Instagrammers. He has like other photographers, or he has other film references, or it's just things outside of the industry. I think sometimes I like to see if they've got a sponsored campaign, I guess I like to see the effort put into it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I love it when someone has gone the extra mile, and I've really seen them think about, right, how does this integrate within my like brand, and how do I fit this into what I do, and how does it sort of sync up? A really fantastic one was Emma Blackery did one for Rimmel, and she made a song from the Rimmel Foundation by making sounds with the foundation tube. It was so good, and it got such a good reaction. I worked with the agency who did that on like a different job, and they said it like way overperformed. It was so, the reception was so good. I think people do get excited by that, because then
Dodie did something like that with Skittles, and again,
yeah, and it's so cool. It's such a clever way to integrate the sponsored content, and you know, you really then appreciate, you think, oh, you know what, you've clearly put loads of effort in.
On Twitter there are a lot of people who are vocal about the challenges that as an industry we're facing with fake followings, which is obviously something that is riling for good reason, a lot of people. What are your experiences like with that, and are you vocal on it, and what do you think?
No, I'm not vocal on it. I've definitely obviously seen it, or you have a suspicion, you check it and you're like, oh yeah, like they've grown 30 every day, and then one day they grew like 10,000. You're like, that doesn't look...
Do you find that frustrating as someone that is an advocate of this industry, when you have people that are having fraudulent behaviour that is affecting the industry as a whole?
Well, like we spoke to people recently, they've now got software that will get rolled out across the board. So I think it will disappear eventually through education.
Finally, I was going to ask, do you think that over the next year we're going to be seeing longer campaigns across video format, photography, maybe live streaming, as opposed to straight product placement and that sort of display?
Yeah, 100%. I know it is, for sure. Brands are now trying to make sure that when, similar to when you book a celebrity, or traditional celebrity, should we say, they would be like a long-term thing. Jennifer Lawrence for Dior is like a long-term partnership. Natalie Portman for Dior. They will 100% do the same. I know a few people who are now doing, they're not taking as much sponsored work, because they're taking
more brand ambassadorships.
Yeah, brand ambassadorships, which I think is important, because it just works better and your followers understand that it's more of a organic relationship and you genuinely hopefully like the product. I think it will also be more in cross-media, in terms of there'll be more POS and more faces of campaigns.
A big thank you to Kyle for coming on the show. You've been listening to Blogosphere, Serious Influence, with me, Alice Audley. Join us next week for a brand new episode. Until then, be sure to check out blogosphere magazine.com for influencer industry updates. And why not treat yourself to a magazine subscription whilst you're there?